From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Well, it's January 2025 and this is the opportunity to talk about our New Year's resolutions. But we're not going to. We're going to do something different instead. And why not? We are going to talk a bit more about communities of practice. Before we came on air, Nigel and I were discussing the fact that you'd done a piece on LinkedIn about communities of practice that had come out of your latest book about organisational learning. And it had garnered a lot of feedback and comment and reaction. And we thought it might be a good idea just to kind of expand a bit on, you know, what kind of feedback you got and what that's telling you about communities of practice and people's kind of feelings towards it right now.
Yeah, thank you, Martin. Whenever I post anything that is, you know, away from the mainstream, I always imagine that I'm just going to get hit around the head by people saying, "You don't know what you're talking about. This is irrelevant. You haven't even mentioned AI." And I'm always or often pleasantly surprised that it strikes a chord in some way. Now, clearly, if you put something on LinkedIn and you have 40 or 50 comments and maybe a few hundred or even a thousand people read it, that's not the world. And it's very dangerous to say, "I conclusively can prove to you this because four people commented on my post." Although I've seen worse kinds of research being posited around the place. But what surprised me was not just people nodding and going, "Oh, interesting idea. Yeah, never thought about that much." It was much more this idea that we've gone down this route of programs of learning aimed at individuals, personalized portfolios of learning, learning challenges, learning targets, all of this stuff, pretty sophisticated now and driven by technology usually. But there's this yawning gap, which is to get people together and share what they all know, not bring in new information and knowledge, not empty vessel theory, you know nothing and we know everything, but to just draw from the collective well of the organization. And that, to me, as I was doing the research, was just a yawning gap in most practice. But the fact that I've shared that and I'm beginning to talk more and more confidently about how important it is has definitely garnered real respect and commitment and agreement. And I'm working with a German company at the moment, and the agenda is to move from a very, very well-organized learning program or fixed learning program of courses, some online, some face-to-face, putting people in front of experts, to not dump that, but to build onto that social learning, because there's a feeling that people aren't talking to each other enough. And it's almost like the culture starts to put up walls around people. And that is the danger. It's exactly what I've been saying, is that when there are cultural walls, i.e. don't talk to Martin, get on with your own work, or that doesn't, you know, they're your KPIs, get those things sorted. I want to see proof that you've done this. When you get to that point, people are almost either scared of talking to each other or think it's irrelevant because it doesn't help them in any way, which is a huge mistake. So they're trying to move into social learning. And the two manifestations of that are going to be a pilot community of practice, because they really don't have anything like that, and some action learning for junior and senior leaders to help them work collectively on problems and set standards together. Now, both of those things strike me as being self-evident that we should do that. But what has prompted it is not me or my book or anything like that. What's prompted it has been their perception of the speed of change in the outside environment, so that they're trying to accelerate the way they engage with the outside environment. It's a technical company, they produce highly technical instruments, and that world is evolving really, really fast. And you can mention AI at this point. That's, you know, AI-infused instruments. How are they going to get on top of this? It's a global company. They work in 40 or 50 countries. How are they going to get this knowledge implemented? And to do it by, we tell you, you learn, rather than we put our heads together and we work it out together. I don't see how they're going to achieve that. So I've really enjoyed the challenge of working in a company where these ideas are not common or current, but in maybe the 40 or 50 staff that I've talked to, there's a real sense, again, there, this is makes obvious sense. The difficulty and the challenge, and that's always going to be the difficulty and the challenge, is so how do you do that in this context, at this time, with these people? So there's no, and I'm more and more resisting cheap cookie cutter solutions. So this, you just do these three things, or this is the way you start. Doesn't work like that. So I've spent most of my time trying to understand the culture of the organization and the nature of the people, and trying to draw on those that more evidently get it. And do get some pioneers, get some leaders together who will drive this through. Because I don't think it should be me doing, and it will be totally inappropriate for me to do it. Because as soon as I go, it falls apart. I need to build something that lasts. But that embodies the my own feeling that this is a real organization in real time, and this is really important, you know, from the top executives down, that they make some moves in this direction. And where they're going, I think many others are. And I think I read a research report from Deloitte talking about the need to build learning communities, and recently, and I thought, whoa, there we go. You know, so it doesn't, in some ways, it doesn't matter what you call it. It's this idea of moving away from this laser focus on individuals to a sense that people learn better together. And if you pool knowledge, you end up not just with 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but you end up with 1 + 1 + 1 = 5 or 6. That is based on psychological fact that we haven't quite come to terms with. You know, there is such a thing as collective intelligence, and people do learn better when they're with their peers, because one idea sparks another. And that where you have transparency and trust and openness, you learn faster because you admit the things that are going wrong. And that is very, very important. But in so many organizations, admitting what's going wrong is like a punishable offense. You know, you just hide it all. So it's all part of that same toxic culture of obfuscation. So I hope that creating more organizational learning, more social learning, will change the culture and will create more trust and more openness. And in itself, I think that is a good thing. And I haven't heard anyone yet say to me face to face, "Oh, trust's completely overrated. You know, but much better to keep secrets, and you know, people don't tell anyone. You know, that's the way to run an organization." But it's not that no one's. Well, there may be some listening to this going, "Oh, he's completely wrong there. What do you mean trust?" But it's the problem is, how do you build trust? Not trust's a bad thing. I want trust. It's too hard. So we just go along with what we've got. So that's it, really. Just that I'm pleasantly surprised by the levels of support for, in some ways, the core idea of the book, that organizational learning is important, and it is not the sum of individual learning. It doesn't write off individual learning, far from it. It builds on it. And that ability to pull collective intelligence and draw on the knowledge of the organization quickly is going to become a prerequisite as companies in America stumbling at the moment to try to work out what on earth they're going to do as the new administration comes in. And then for some of them, they've done a U-turn. So, you know, who's thinking this through? You know, if it's just one person at the top saying to the whole company, oh, remember, yesterday it was like this, today it's like that, they're going to be in trouble very quickly because it's not come from the collective. You can't just run.
Also, I think I'm...
Sorry, Martin.
No, I just think it's fascinating. I think also the other thing that is really interesting is that these are tools for enabling this to happen anyway, aren't they? So
yes,
in your
exactly.
work, you can use action learning sets and you can build communities as a part of the work for the output to be a more, you know, more knowledge sharing. So I think that's interesting for learning teams, isn't it? That actually, you know, it's almost like choose your tools wisely, because you can do, if you choose the tools you're talking about, you are going to build engagement and trust around a process that you can then push out into the organization further, because you've already engaged some of the stakeholders that need to be engaged. And if they begin to understand what it's like to work together on shared problems, and they understand what it's like to let each other have a voice and start to listen to people, and then it's just, then it can build, can't it? And I think these are great tools to enable that to happen as well.
And also just to recognize how wonderful the people around you are, because they don't have no idea. They don't know what people know. You never, who cares? Well, they're next to me, been working with me for 2 years. I don't care. Whereas this idea, wow, it's really exciting. These people are exciting. You know, once you get below the surface, I can learn. I can learn from them. They can learn from me. That must make your heart skip a beat, I think. So that's it, Martin. That was really just saying I'm heartened by the response, but I'm going to have to think very hard about what help I can give organizations in the implementation, because that's obviously that's the big beast lurking around that has to be slayed in some way.
Well, good luck with that. I look forward to hearing more on it when you've come up with the answers. So that was great, Nigel. Well, happy new year. And
happy new year too.
To, I don't know how many years we've been doing this podcast. I'll report back next time. It might be our 10th. Could be longer.
It can't be 10
something
years.
Like that. I think it 2014, maybe not. Anyway, we'll find out next. I'll look it up and I'll report back, everyone.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks, Nigel.
It's always a pleasure, Martin. Thank you very much. Bye.
From scratch.